Around Comics, Episode 87. Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. I'm joined, as always, by the co-hosts of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yo.
And Mr. Tom Cater.
Hey.
Gee, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom,
excited today. Huh?
Tax season has him a little punchy.
Yeah. I slept in my office for a while. With sweets.
And like falling asleep at your desk and waking up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, and then just knocking over, screaming at the people cleaning.
Night terrors.
Yeah, well, get out of my room.
Well, we have an oversized panel again this week. We are joined by...
coming from?
All over the place, you know. The guys from Ape email me and say, hey, we've got some Ape creators there in Chicago. You should have them drop by. And they did.
Ape so creators.
I
was disappointed. It wasn't like
I
drink
a bowl from you.
Three orangutans.
So this is collectively the creative team from the upcoming series from Ape Entertainment called White Picket Fences. Starting off are the co-writers Matt Anderson.
Hello.
And Eric Hutchins.
Hello.
And over on the far side of the table, way over there, is the artist Micah Ferritor.
Thanks for having
and
us.
And it's Ferritor?
Ferritor. Ferritor is my wrestling name.
The Ferritor.
Ferritor is a mythical beast, my friend.
My favorite mythical beast.
It's a two-headed minotaur.
Beware of the Darth Ferritor.
Darth Ferritor. All right, that was okay. I went too far.
Yeah. We
will, of course, be talking about White Picket Fences later in the episode, but our main topic today is one that we had a feeling we would get a lot of feedback on the forums about, and indeed we did. It is what makes a good local comic shop. So we're going to be going over all of that in just a few minutes. But first, I want to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
Or your old best friend, as the case with a lot of us.
If you shop at a local comic shop. Also, a nice supplement.
It's sort of an acquaintance like to invite over once in a while.
You can't talk of it anymore.
Well, speaking of nice local comic shops, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Yay. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. While you're here, remember to ask about Dark Tower's Pull List membership. It's one of the best you will find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, independent comics, trades, statues, action figures, and everything you need for your comic collector lifestyle.
Clothes? Do they carry comic clothes?
You read comics,
they
don't.
They do have styling, luchador style.
That's right, the luchador mask and the Kill Obama shirt.
No, Kill Osama. Kill Obama.
Sorry.
Secret Service.
Oops.
Guest of the show all receive Kill Obama t-shirt.
Kill Osama.
Oh, no, Osama.
Right wing. Just
kept happening. We're gonna have a ton of fucking conservative listeners. We're gonna Kill Obama. Oh,
Conor Ray looking. No, I didn't. I'm voting for him. I'm sorry. Okay. Hey, everyone.
Podcast told me.
Oh, good Lord. Remember that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Each Thursday episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from listener Brian Bowles. Check it out every Thursday at www.aroundcomics.com. Okay, folks, we have all shopped in them. For a lot of us, it's where we first discovered comic books. For most of us, it's where a mild interest turned into much, much more.
Obsession.
We are recording in one right now. We are, of course, talking about the local comic shop. What makes a good comic shop? Whatever your interest level is, you probably have thoughts and expectations of what a comic shop should be. For today's show, we have assembled a round table that has over a century of combined experience of comic book shopping.
None of us.
I thought that sounded pretty impressive.
No. Not really.
Collecting.
Well, I tell you, let's, we'll start with our guest. Matt, by the way, besides being a co-writer of an actual comic, has a lot of experience working in a comic shop. You are an employee of Comics. You work at Graham Crackers.
You said it.
You got it.
I can't get in trouble now.
Yeah, next week's episode of Around Comics will be recorded at somewhere else. First off, what is either your most important thing to you as a customer, or what do you hear as working at a comic shop, what is most important to your customers?
Actually, the thing that we hear the most is that people would hang around a lot more if we had a bar in each store.
There you go.
Which I actually...
Yeah, as we're drinking while we do this.
Send them to Dark Tower Comics.
That is that is actually what we hear. That is one of the things that I hear the most. But otherwise...
Comic bar.
Yeah, comic bar.
Gears are grinding.
What I think works the best, or what I think that comic stores need the most is kind of to get away from some of the, you know, club aspect. Like they're not always so user friendly to new people coming in. I mean, a lot of the stuff, it almost requires inside knowledge to shop, and you know, that is something that, you know, we have also heard a lot of. And especially right now with more and more people coming into stores, I think that, you know, having them be a little more user friendly, people, you know, being able to just come in and get the lay of the land without needing too much guidance, I think.
You need to look on the Earth 2 shelf for that.
Exactly. Yeah, comic shops sometimes are as complicated as DC continuity.
Sure, it is. You know, you said the club atmosphere. It's like, you know, you need to, you know, have a special invitation to go into the crazy-looking store.
And, of course, you know, it's a hard line, you know, to walk, because when you get away from the club aspect, then you lose the people that keep you in business day in, day out. But if to expand, to, you know, ever get beyond just that, you have to somehow reach across. And, you know, I don't know if that's been perfected yet. And I think...
It's called Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah. But then the problem is they come up to, like, the glass case or wherever you have the cards.
Nowhere else.
And then that's it.
That's,
yeah.
As far as they go.
So, you know...
I hate Pokemon.
I hate it so much.
Guys, never say that. Our huge Pokemon crossover audience.
Well, you know, it's...
No!
I think we've talked about it on the show before with Cullen Bunn, who worked at the Fantasy Shop in St. Louis for years and years, and the South St. Louis Fantasy Shop store opened up because of Pokemon. They said that game kept that store in business for their first year. So it was, you know, and then they kind of went away from it and developed.
And now they're gone.
They used Pokemon to keep the store open. Then they developed a customer base there for comic books, and they've survived since Pokemon kind of went away. And, you
Pokemon's
know, so
never gone away, my friend.
No,
it's always bubbling beneath the surface.
Long live.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Right now, it's still hanging. I don't know how it's still hanging on.
Is it the same thing?
But it kind of, I guess. Same crowd.
They all have little clicky bases, right? That's all I know.
Hey, don't talk bad about the heroes.
Hero clicks is a man's game.
Yes.
A man's
intellectuals.
Game with lots of little men that you manipulate.
Men with...
plastic
large
dolls. Fine.
No strange,
well,
weird.
Eric, what is your, I guess, number one thing that you look for in an LCS?
Ooh,
it's not on that piece of paper in front of you, my friend. You're going to have to come up with it on your own.
We wrote it.
Turn the crib notes over.
You know, that's kind of tough to say. I'm really kind of in a lucky position whenever I'm, you know, anytime I'm in a comic store, I'm usually with Matt, and he can direct me to stuff, you know, based on the stuff he was talking about there. I guess, you know, I like to see, especially now that I'm, you know, working with an independent publisher, it's nice to see stores that carry more independent books. And I know that's tough, and it's a really, you know, everybody says that, but, you know, now that I'm kind of, you know, every time I go into a comic store now, the first thing I look is, you know, do they carry 8 books?
Will my book be here?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the big question.
And it's funny.
Will it show up?
I actually did a little, like, mini documentary for class. It was based on, like, the independent and corporate, if you will, comic, the disparity there. And what we ended up hitting on was that, you know, I guess you'd really like to see more of the indie books there, but without, you know, your Marvel and your DC and your Image and stuff, the other stuff can't sell because, you know, you need to have some kind of financial bottom line.
Sure.
So, I don't know, I guess it's one of those double-edged swords where, you know, my biggest pet peeve would be that there's not enough indie stuff there, but you can't really have one without the other.
Not many people go right from not reading comics to reading indie comics.
Right. Exactly.
Not many people just buy
comics. And that's the thing, though. It's kind of like something you were saying with the Pokemon. You know, it's great to have, you know, I think, like what you said in when I interviewed him, strangely enough, was...
Matt.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, what Matt said, I'm pointing here.
They can't see us.
So, you know, people are gonna find the other stuff through your Batmans, your Supermans, and those, you know, may be great titles, and sometimes they have rocky times and whatnot, but that's what gets people into the, you know, the more lesser known stuff. So I don't know if I really answered the question or just kind of beat around the bush.
You're talking about, you know, variety.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
I think that's what
there
it comes down to. So.
And, you know, because I'm not a huge comic guy. Like, you know, I read what I like and I like what I read, but, you know, I can only take so much superhero type stuff, and that seems to be a lot of, you know, I mean, that's really
you like what you like, you read what you like, but you want to have things open for you want to have variety to choose from and find out more things that you like.
And to be fair, yeah, and I, you know, just recently started branching out into some superhero stuff, and that's because, you know, I said I had the in here with Matt working in Graham Crackers, and he kind of points me in directions that I, you know.
Yeah, his comic shop is my house and my collection.
Yeah.
The question should be, how can I improve my collection for Eric to shop it better?
It's usually
free pizza and beer.
Yeah. No, that's it. You know, we'll be writing, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to the toilet. What should I take with me? There you go.
So you're a comic sidler. You sidle along his collection.
Yeah, there you go.
Micah.
Well, I'm not so good with words as Matt and Eric, but I think this picture illustrates it perfectly.
He's drawn a sketch of a bad comic book.
On the back of my cheat sheet. I need that back.
There we have it. No, I've got a couple of comics that I like to follow, but fortunately for me, they're pretty prevalent, you know, like Conan from Dark Horse and so forth. But as far as other tasks that I like for my comic book shop to address are for me tracking down old issues of books from artists that I've just now discovered that I like, that I didn't know before. Kind of came late into comics about 3 or 4 years ago, and so I'm, yeah, just coming into new things. Like, it was only 2 years ago that I read Enigma with artist Duncan Figredo, so I'm having my friends and my contacts in my local comic book store, you know, track down everything they can with the man's stuff. So, because
your comic pimps,
my comic pimps deliver me.
You started reading like 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I read a few comic books in high school, but not many. Like, I tracked down a few issues of the Max here and there, but I never collected it. You know, I read a little bit of, you know, Cerebus because I thought it was, you know, hilarious and funny. Back high society, church and state is really funny stuff. But I never really got into it until I started looking at the art a little bit more. And so, yeah, 3-4 years
ago.
We'll
get to this whenever we talk about White Picket Fences, but I'm real interested to see how you got a hold of sequential storytelling like you have, because you're a good sequential storyteller.
Wrestle it down.
Oh, thank you.
That was the fair tour. Well, comics don't have any ground game, so once you get it down there, you pretty much own them.
Todd?
I think it's important, like, right when you walk in at first, that The shop I used to go to in Green Bay was perhaps the least friendly place I've ever been. The first thing you saw when you walk in was people like playing video games on a couch. Like in front of a TV, like you just walked into someone else's apartment, which isn't the most welcoming. Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I felt bad, like I was interrupting what they were doing.
It's like, is there like beer in the fridge?
Yeah.
But I brought a pizza to this.
And I think the other thing too is just the general sense of being treated fairly by the shop that you go to. Mm-hmm. Like the shops you go to where you see things that are marked up really high that maybe shouldn't be, or you have experience with a shop where. I think someone brought up an example of this where their shop owner was trying to screw people over on the Captain America number 25, yeah. Even though they go there all the time and stuff like that. If you're like a new shopper, you may not pick up on, but if you're more seasoned, you'll notice when your shop owner's trying to pull one over on you.
I want to buy a copy of Bone Storm. Here's 99 cents.
Allow me to summarize the proposed transaction. You wish to purchase Bone Storm for 99 cents. Net profit to me, -$59. Oh, please take my $59. I don't want it. It's yours. Seeing as we are unfamiliar with sarcasm, I shall close the register at this point.
I think everybody's kind of touched on it, is it comes down to comfort. You know, I think... You know, comics already have sort of the stigma about them that, you
really?
Know, if you're, well, yeah, nobody's told you. sorry, Tom, and Santa doesn't. Anyway, but the last place I want to feel uncomfortable is in a comic shop, and a lot of comic shops, unfortunately, are run by people that, for whatever reason, take that opportunity to make other people feel bad, which is the weirdest thing to me.
Why are you buying this? Worst
yeah, yeah,
comic
you know what I mean?
Ever.
And yeah. Well, and it's funny that you bring that up because I think, you know, Matt Groening probably went to a lot of comic shops in his day because that character epitomizes a lot of the, you know, stereotypes yeah. of shop owners and shop managers and guys that work in shops because we've all been to a shop where there is someone like that that makes you feel uncomfortable, that isn't very helpful, that doesn't, you know, make you feel good about being in their store and spending money, which is the worst thing you could possibly do as a business owner. So I just think it comes down to comfort level, whether it's, you know, the selection is there, whether the store layout is well designed so that you can get around. And I think number one, it's the customer service and just the way that you're treated as a customer walking into a store, that you're not walking into, you know, some sort of secret club that you're not a member of, because you know, let's face it, with comics growing up as a kid reading comics, you already have, you know, that sort of defense mechanism built in. Anytime someone, you know, sees you with a comic book, you know at some point you're going to have to try and defend it or ignore it or whatever. And to have to deal
I'm
with
reading
it.
This.
Yeah,
you're taking it off the ground. Yeah. 5 seconds before you saw me.
But to actually have to deal with that when you walk into the place that you're trying to buy the comics from in a different sort of way, but you know you're still dealing with that situation.
You don't want to have to know the secret handshake before you. Check
yeah,
out.
You know, it's just
unless you've been going there for a while, then it's totally
yeah,
cool.
Then it's well, awesome. Then it's totally your place.
we've got some great forum posts that we'll get through, and I think that we've touched
what
on
what about
some
you? You didn't say what?
I'm segueing into mine.
Oh, jeez.
And I think that we
talking huge. About forum posts?
No, mine is...
I'm going to go have a cigarette.
Mine's an easy one, and I thought back to why I started shopping at this shop.
HeroClix.
Location for me.
Oh, okay.
Living in the city, it was important for me to find a shop that I wasn't going to have to drive an hour out of my way to get to. And I think that, you know, probably all of us have had that experience of having to make.
I don't actually have a local comic
yeah.
shop. I don't. There's two by me I don't shop at because not that they're bad stores, they're just not really good stores. So I don't. I shop there for years, but. The selection isn't good. They don't offer certain services, and it's just like I'm not going to spend my money at a place that.
Everything is important for the shop, whether it's, you know, selection or how much help you get or, you know, what kind of inventory they carry. But, you know, the first thing that gets me to a store whenever I move to a new location is the location. I always check out the local comic shop. I mean, the first part of that is important. What is local to you? So I think that...
I imagine you with your wife as you're moving into a new place and all the boxes are still unpacked and you're like, I'm off to find a local comic shop.
No, Tom, what do you mean when I move in? You don't think I would have checked that out ahead of time?
You ask the realtor when you're first seeing a house. There are comic shops in the area.
What sort of discounts do they offer for full members? Full list.
You don't think I'm going to have all that research before I move again? What are you, crazy? Well, I tell you what, we have a couple other quote unquote comic book experts that we're gonna get.
We're gonna the number of people on this. It's gonna be over a century and a half.
137 years of
comic book collecting
knowledge and experience.
We're gonna be over the 2-century mark. We're approaching the sesquicentennial.
Are we calling Carmine Infantino?
Yes.
Is that why we're pushing us over
just
the?
That's wrong, nerds.
comics.
Yeah. Buying all this.
Quick, the red Carmine Infantino.
I quit reading after they killed Barry.
Yeah, I can't believe they killed.
I tell you what, let's give our two guests a call here.
Excuse me, no banging your head on the display case, please. It contains a very rare Mary Worth in which she has advised a friend to commit suicide. Thank you.
And joining us on the phone are two-thirds of iFanboy, Ron and Connor. Guys, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, everybody.
Where's Tom?
Where did Tom go? Tom, where are you? Why are you in the parking lot?
Because you're an asshole.
I didn't mean that about the Flash, I swear.
This is the thing where all the podcasts get together, and at first there's confusion and we all fight, and then we eventually come together to realize we have a common enemy, John Sutcher. we have to protect the world from John Suntress, I think.
Well, guys, John, Tom, John is here.
Yay, John! I miss you, John.
Hello again, everybody.
As he comes running.
Boy, oh boy. Look at the ball yard tonight. All right, I'm spitting. I don't mean to.
Well, Ron, Connor, we're talking about what makes a good comic shop, but I think everybody wants to hear the juicy evil stories of comic shops. So I tell you what, Ron, why don't you start us off with what you like about comic shops, and if you have a horror story, why don't you give us one of those?
Well, actually, totally, and I think my story, probably both columns, is good and what is bad about a comic shop at the same time. my comic store is actually Heroes Comics and Cards in Norwalk, Connecticut, and it's an awesome store. And what's rad about it is that I can go there, and there's always like five or six guys hanging out talking about the books that came out that Wednesday. And you know what's great is you get sucked into this hour-long conversation about Captain America or Civil War or you know all these theories and stuff like that. It's just great comic book discussion, kind of like what we have here on these podcasts. But what's the horror story is when you just want to run in and get your books and get out and go to dinner or go to the gym or something, you get sucked in. It's like a vacuum. It's miserable, actually.
Everybody here in the shop, whenever you said go to the gym, everyone looked at each other. And
I go to the gym with my comics on Wednesday. I read my comics in the gym.
Sometimes I need to get home and masturbate almost immediately. And I get caught up into a huge conversation.
I'm not surprised, Tom, at all. It's awful. Well, read the comics at the gym doesn't actually burn any calories. Yeah, I'm not actually doing anything at the gym. I'm just sitting there reading on a chair. That's all.
There's a bad steam room joke there, but I'm not going to go into it. Connor, how about you?
I actually have a very unique opinion about comic stores in that I don't want anybody to talk to me while I'm in there. I just want to get my books and get out as fast as possible. Not because I don't like anybody, but I just consider the comic store to be the same as any kind of store. I just want to get what I want and leave. I don't want anybody at the clothing store to bother me. I don't want anybody at the comic store to bother me. So I look for a quick and easy transactional relationship between me and the comic store. And hey, guys, every stereotype you've ever heard about New Yorkers is a complete lie. They're really nice. They like to talk. There's nothing. There's no stereotypes with New Yorkers at all.
That's why you shop in Connecticut.
Yeah, exactly. I drive all the way to Connecticut for the sweetness. You know, I only have an hour for lunch. I can't be hanging around. I got to get in and get out.
Well,
yeah, Brooklyn has turned you into a cold, hard man, Connor. That's what it has. Well, that segues nicely into the horror story. A few years ago, I usually shop at big stores in Manhattan, like Midtown Comics or Cosmic Comics. But a few years ago, I was working in Brooklyn, so I didn't ever go in Manhattan. And I found a neighborhood store that was one of those typical, like, dingy, stereotypical, dirty comic stores. And you couldn't move in it. There wasn't room for more than one person in the aisle. And there was an old woman who ran the store who sat in the middle on a folding chair, and I'm pretty sure she had tuberculosis.
Scarlet fever.
She sat there hacking wet coughs into a rag the entire time you were in the store. And I may have taken a few years off my life that year I spent buying comics at that store, but that's my horrible comic book story.
What was she reading?
Nothing. She just hacked into the rag and then mumbled.
Actually, Ron... I think that's what happens whenever you read the X-Men too long.
Oh, ouch.
Well, guys, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about iFanboy for a second. We love your podcast and want to give you a second to tell all of our listeners, and I think we share a lot of listeners, but if you want to let folks know about iFanboy and what you have going on with Revision 3 and what's coming up on shows.
Sure, actually, and thanks so much for the kind words about the show, and we've got a show, and like you said, I think we do share a lot of listeners, and what's really cool about podcasts is that it's not like, you know, we're not fighting for listeners. I mean, everybody can listen to all of our shows. It's not like, you know, one comic book show is on at 8 o'clock at night and you've got to choose between Around Comics or iFanboy. Everybody can download whatever they want, which is rad, so that's really cool. But, iFanboy.com was a site that Connor, myself, and our other friend Josh put together in 2000, the year 2000, and we wanted a place to talk about comics that wasn't immature and weird like some of the other places on the line. So we started doing that website, and pretty much nobody came except for the three of us. and then in 2005, I was listening to podcasts, getting into that, and I said, hey, guys, we should do a podcast. So we started doing the audio show. And Connor, I mean, why don't you bring us a speed up for that?
Yeah, he had the drag of kicking and screaming into that sort of new media world, because we were very skeptical about the whole idea of people wanting to actually listen to shows about comics, but it really took off faster than we ever expected it to, and to the point now where it's almost too much work.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, as Connor mentioned, the little-known iFanboy fact is that it took me 2 months to convince them to do it. And once we started doing it, it took off, and then this past summer at San Diego, we were fooling around with Josh's video camera, and we ended up with this half-hour video of our experience at the San Diego Con. And that got us thinking again, and we're like, hey, you know, there are a lot of, you know, podcasts popping up that are video based, so why don't we try doing that? So we decided to start putting one together in the fall. Josh had moved out from California to New York, so we're all in the same city for the first time in 6 years, and so we figured, let's do it. And luckily enough, Revision 3, which is a great online IPTV network, they took notice and they wanted to distribute us, and so we got the deal done. And in January we launched the video show, and we've got about, what, kind of like 11 or 12 shows under our belt now.
11 shows out. We have a bunch in various stages of production at the moment. But
our last episode came out last week, and it was a whole spotlight on Alan Moore, about 25 minutes of talking about Alan Moore. So it was a lot of fun. So it's cool because the video show allows us to talk about stuff that we don't get to talk about on the audio show.
I actually have a neat story about the video cast that you did from New York. You guys were kind enough to include us on that. Well, get this. I had about 3 days after you guys released that, I got an email from a guy I went to high school with that I haven't seen in like...
You owe him money.
No.
Hey, asshole, remember?
It was a friend of mine that I went to...
You're still a nerd.
Give me your lunch money, nerd.
Thanks, guys. But no, this was actually an old friend of mine that I had lost touch with, and he listens to your podcast, didn't listen to ours, but saw
us
on... Yeah, asshole. But yeah, I get this email from him that he had seen us on your video cast, and it's a guy I haven't talked to in years. So it was really neat. So
that kind of thing happens to everybody but us. Exactly. And somebody else on, and she got recognized by three people from her hometown, and they called her up. Nobody recognizes us at all. It's kind of sad. Although I did get an email today from one of our viewers who told me that my general look wasn't working and I need to get a better wardrobe.
could you pep that up a little bit, huh? You're kind of slovenly, man. Would you mind?
Yeah.
What did?
I know. Yeah. I guess the whole sideburns t-shirt thing doesn't work for most people. But I guess, what are you gonna do? You know.
Well, did you tell him that you've been reading comics at the gym? So you know.
Exactly. I'm getting buffed, you know?
That shirtless episode is going to be the huge payoff.
It's like Ron in 300 Part 2. He'll be all ripped.
This is iFanboy! Out of curiosity, guys, how's it been? How's the response been to the video one, you know, compared to the regular audio podcast?
It's surprisingly good. I mean, we were really... Anytime you put yourself out there, there's a little bit of apprehension, especially in a video format, because you're literally putting yourself out there. And the reaction has been much more positive than negative. In fact, people want more. You know, the first complaint we got wasn't about that it was bad, that it was too short, and they wanted more of the show. So that's always gratifying. It makes us work harder and do better, put more hours into it.
In a few weeks, I think that Josh is actually going to be able to drop by Dark Tower and sit in on an episode with us.
Absolutely. He's going to be out there in April. He's going to come by and hang out with you guys. He's really, really excited.
Yeah, he's super psyched about that, and you need to get him to good pizza. That's what you need to get him, some good deep dish pizza.
We have fucking St. Louis shit.
Yeah. We only have good pizza in Chicago. And
Right.
Not that New York shit. I mean, come on. You can't fold your pizza in half. What is that about?
Isn't there room for both?
You're in Italian. You're in trouble. Yeah, don't fuck around with the way I eat my pizza, guys.
I wouldn't give up.
Naked, yeah. Naked and alone.
At the gym.
Well, the last mention, we talked about some of the listeners that we share, and I know that Freaky Tiki is a listener for both of the shows, and I know that he was really looking forward to this, so I want to definitely thank him.
I'm a big fan of Freaky Tiki, so I hope he enjoys this.
Thank you so much for taking some time out of your Friday evening to chit-chat with us, and are you going to make it to Chicago this year for Wizard World?
We're thinking about it. It's all a matter of how much money's left in our bank account, so if we can swing it... We're actually going to be, just to get a little plugs in, we're gonna be in Charlotte for Heroes Con, because apparently we have a lot of fans in the Charlotte area, go figure.
Great.
So we're going to go down there, and then of course we're going to be in San Diego, but we haven't looked beyond San Diego yet, but I would love to come out to Chicago. We've actually never been to that con yet.
It's the flyover convention, so
yeah.
It's just the flyover one.
It's not the flyover convention. Keep up the great work, and we'll be listening.
Yeah, thanks for having us, and we're definitely we're thanks so much, and we can't wait to hang out again. It'll be rad.
Absolutely, so. We'll have you back again soon.
Are you the creator of High and Lois? Because you are making me laugh. That drawing is worth exactly $750 American.
It's valuable, huh?
Ooh, your powers of deduction are exceptional. I simply can't allow you to waste them here when there are so many crimes going unsolved at this very moment. Go, go, for the good of the city.
I want to thank the iFanboy guys for chiming in there. It's always good to talk to Ron and Connor. And once again, Josh is going to, I believe, going to drop by the shop here in a couple weeks. So
we're being invaded.
Yeah. Taking over one show at a time. First Suntress. Now iFanboy.
Soon we won't even have to do our own show.
This is going
to
be great.
We'll just invite other podcasters to come on and do it for us.
Actually, I think Chris Marshall's coming down.
See?
From Collected Comics
Library. I'm not showing up anymore.
So
we farm it out.
Mercenaries.
Can I hire someone to do my stuff?
Micah?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, contact my agent at Blackwater.
Well, I tell you what, guys, we had a lot of activity on the forum this week. A lot of people with their thoughts on
what the hell are we talking about again?
On what makes
a
what makes a good comic
it's
shop.
It's taken us only like 5 fucking hours to get to this point.
Yes, the time in between has been extraordinary. Yeah. Two pizzas have been consumed, numerous beers. Once again, speaking of the forum, if you would like to chime in on topics talk about them, not this one, but on our next one.
You can always go there. And
you can always go to aroundcomics.com, go to the community section, check out our forum. We always love to interact with listeners there. It's a good chance for you to chime in on topics, just like Matt Kramer, who says, first and foremost, the two most important things to me are convenient location and convenient hours. After that, I think a great selection of new comics is the biggest draw. Wide selections of trades and toys are great, but honestly, I can get trades cheaper at either Borders or Amazon. No, Borders good. Borders good.
That's right, yes.
Who do we hate?
Great. Comic shops.
And he also mentions that he shops at Collector's Edge East in, I believe that's Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
www.collectorsedgecomics.com.
I do believe they have an Around Comics flyer there. So
thanks, Bill.
I think
you're welcome.
He brings up some good points. I think it's the three most common points that you'll hear on these upcoming posts: is location, hours, and
location.
Variety, and location. So, Tom, what does Chris Chavez, aka Equinox, have to say?
He loves all shops.
I'm
skipping it. For me, the service that my LCS provides is what I look for the most, followed by the hours they operate. I love that my LCS owner takes the time to get to know what types of books might be interesting to his customers, and will occasionally pull extra books that we might like to try out. More often than not, he's dead on with a new book for me. But even if he's not, I appreciate that he watches out for us. And my shop is California Cards and Comics in Elk Grove, California. No website. But give them a call if you're in the general Sacramento, California area.
I think that's a good point. A lot of shops, you know, will do that. I know Mark does that, and he's very good at it. He usually, you know.
I will not take Red Sonja number zero.
Well, the only thing is, though, a lot of shops will do that, but then, you know, it's not with sort of the idea that you don't have to buy it. You know, it's like you almost, you know, and they'll put stuff in your box that you may not be interested in, but then you
feel
like...
And they say, here's
like,
your books for the week.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Is then you feel like you have to buy that stuff. And as long as it comes with, you know, the caveat that you don't have to buy the stuff they recommend, but... You
Mark,
know.
Mark,
I never make Chris buy those Anamorphics having sex books when I
put
them in his box.
You do slip it into mine and then just give me the bag, and then when I get home, I'll have
all
some weird fucking porn.
I will find out some whacked out shit. And it's when Tom's not looking, as I'm bagging his books, I slip one of those in. He takes it home and he spreads his books out in front of his girlfriend.
Tentacle porn again?
Look, girls like comics too.
I'm sorry, where's this box?
Right over here.
Where's this box of porno?
No, don't talk about it.
Mark is always very good about, you know, he knows if something's not on my pull list that I would like, he almost always either suggests it whenever I come in, or he'll already have pulled it aside. And 9 times out of 10, I like it. So, well,
and I want to say that is one of the benefits to what I said earlier about the club aspect of comic shops, is that sometimes that can be a negative because it might not be as inviting to new people, but it's great when you're a regular customer and something that you might have overlooked. I mean, previews is huge. So, you know, there'd be things you're going to look over. And
it's like, how fast could you flip past white picket fences in previews?
Exactly. I've done it.
And you were looking for it.
Yeah, I was looking for it. But yeah,
I think it's just a matter of a shop owner or manager getting, you know, taking the time to get to know his customers, which he should do, and or she should do, and a lot of times they don't.
Yeah, well, let's be realistic here. All right,
my old LCS, my old LCS was run by a woman. So
you don't shop there anymore.
No, I don't. But that had nothing to do with her. She was
PMSing all over the books.
It was the Scarlet Fever cough. It was the same woman from Connor's old shop.
Had nothing to do with that. It was just
time to move
selection.
On. Selection. Yep.
Wet Rats said, a discount is very low on my priorities. Well, glad to know you're rich. A sociable, attentive, knowledgeable staff is number one. A large stock of back issues and trades is number two. Location is number three, but I've almost always lived in the sticks, so conveniently located has a far different meaning. I've had pull lists at stores as much as 2 hours away. Wow.
Where the fuck does he live?
I live in a metro.
But Batavia.
I'm laughing at it when the ticks
Oh, okay.
That's right. That was a Batavia jab. Yeah, you got it. All right. Talk back.
He understood it. He just didn't laugh.
Yeah. I see how this is going.
Wait, this is the guy from St. Louis. The big city.
Yeah, city. Oh, yeah. All right. Good. Talk back says one word, staff. If the people that work there suck, usually everything else does too. If you can find an LCS with staff that's not rude and is halfway knowledgeable, then the rest is gravy. If the stacks are small but they're willing to search for you, then it makes everything else okay in my eyes. Oh, and whores. Lots and lots of whores.
Always a plus at a shop.
That was Sal that started that on the forum. Hookers. I want hookers in my store. Kevin Freeman does stuff for this company. What is it?
He is our editor, actually, on White Picket Fences, but he also writes.
Well, what does he have to say about local comic shops?
He says that you should buy White Picket Fences.
If they carry White Picket Fences,
it's a good shop.
And all other
ask for it. Staff is probably the most important thing to me. They should be friendly, but not too friendly. Wink, wink. Where they're bugging you the whole time to make a sale. Nudge,
no
nudge.
Reach arounds.
Are you listening, Radio Shack? Store cleanliness is huge for me. If your store is a shithole, I don't care how well stocked it is or how amazing the employees are. I'm not shopping there. The store should be organized, back issues in order, the floor vacuumed on occasion, etc., etc. I like stores that look professional.
What kind of an editor is he?
Yeah,
he's like this script is dirty.
He hates ellipses.
Yeah.
I also look through back issues wearing surgical gloves, and I would prefer if the stores would provide me with surgical gloves.
He didn't write that.
In short,
that is a weird post.
Beautify your soul.
Yeah. I also prefer stores that I feel safe bringing my wife into. You know, those stores. The ones with the lingering misfits.
Crate and Barrel.
Sitting at tables in the back of the store.
Playing video games.
Like the
drinking
shop
beer.
Is your second home. I hope I roll a 20 as far as initiative with her. They usually have unkempt neck beards, smell like old French fries, and have social skills of cinder block. If my wife gets the creeps from stepping in, time to move on.
Oh, like he's never had a neck beard.
He's also writing Kevin a book about people in comic shops.
Yeah,
so just,
subculture. Yeah, we have to talk about subculture for just a second. Check it, check
told,
it out.
You need to roll like a 24 because most people in a comic shop have like a -4 on charisma.
I am resistant to charisma.
Hey, look, Pat Wojka chimed in.
He said, "I've been with the same LCS for 10 years now. I've been with them when they moved locations a total of 3 times. I stuck with them even though I get bigger discounts from online retailers." Like DCBS. Why?
Because it's crazy.
Well, the staff makes it a fun place to be. I joke, talk, and flirt with the staff on my LCS. Yes, you read that right. Flirt. If I'm having fun as I buy my books, I'll keep going there.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm not flirting with Mark no matter what kind of discount he gives me.
I don't know.
Three bags and boys.
Think about
that.
It's actually Dark Tower. I've gone through 1, 2, 3 location changes and a name change. And 2 ownership changes.
Yeah. So you're a dedicated employee.
You are like an damn close.
Your bravery.
Or I buckled stars.
Let me show you something. This is a Snagglepuss drawn by Hick Heisler. It is worth something. This is an arm drawn by nobody. It is worth nothing.
You know, one of the things back on location I want to talk to Matt about is that he works for Graham Crackers. And how many locations
Stop
does Graham...
saying that name!
He works for...
It'll
That's
be
right.
Edited out.
I'm going to get him back, Mark. Don't worry.
Cram Crackers.
Cram Crackers.
Cram Grannies.
Currently, I think there is... Eight. Yeah, there's 8 locations at the moment.
Overlord boss. I've had dinner with them.
Your overlord boss. Yes.
Hear that, Jamie?
That's right. When we get to the horror story,
do anything about comic books.
As well, stay over. So.
Is this a hockey podcast?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah. No. There's 8 currently. Mostly in the suburbs, but 2 in the city. There's 1 just in the Loop area of Chicago, and then 1 in Lincoln Park. But
It's really for the suburbanites.
Yeah,
It covers the Chicagoland.
Yeah,
area.
There's actually, I'm trying to think. There's areas of the suburbs where, I know they don't cover just based on other comic shops being there. So I
haven't crushed them. haven't strangled them.
Right? I think they
street toughs haven't come in and tipped over their books.
I was gonna say I think they know that there'd be retribution at conventions or something at that point.
Hunter chimes in. He says, "I like to think more about the ecosystem of comic retail stores. In any decent metropolitan area, you're going to run the gamut of different breeds, from the hole in the wall mom and pops to your sci-fi mega stores that serve up Warhammer 40K, LAN networking, and other notable excursions into geekery. I see many stores evolving into the LCS/bookstore hybrids, clearly taking advantage of the trade market. For those of us that have a choice in stores, I think location ends up being the big pragmatic hurdle, followed by selection, staff, and whatever niche market they may be filling." And he brings up a good point about how there are a lot of stores out there that have stopped being just comic shops, whether they're, you know, and Dark Tower carries figures and a lot of trade paperbacks, and this is a HeroClix venue, which I think is, are the Graham Crackers, are they HeroClix venues?
Yeah, certain ones have, like, tournaments and everything on a weekly basis.
You know, and diversifying and that kind of stuff. But you start to see a lot more of the, you know, even the independent bookstores have started carrying a lot of collected editions and that kind of stuff. So I think the market may be changing in that respect.
I have to say one thing, I mean, and again, my knowledge really comes from Graham Crackers. Those are really the only comic stores I've ever been exposed to on any like timely or lengthy basis, but they've always kind of had that branch out. I remember back, you know, when I started there in like the mid-90s, there, you know, a good quarter of one the store that I worked at in the suburb of St. Charles was gaming, like role-playing games. And, you know, and then Magic kind of came in, and the card games took off. So, I mean, I guess I've always seen that. I think I've never seen a shop that was solely comic books that didn't branch into figures, didn't branch into
something.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's weird, though, how I would kind of, I think that the focus kind of shifts. Because I remember when I used to go to Cram Crackers, if you will, to get all my, I used to be just an RPG nut, and, you know, I would go there for all my D&D books and all my Palladium books and whatnot. And then just, I remember one day I walked in there, and they're just like, "Hey, you know, you guys don't have, you know, this Rift or whatever." And it was like, "Yeah, we stopped carrying that. It's, you know, we're branching away from that." And it's, you know, then they started moving more into, you know, some of the...
Well, I know Magic was a huge...
Yeah, well, that blew everything away.
You
lose
your shit. Huh? You found out where you just like, "The fuck?"
I knocked over some...
He broke a window.
Threw your D20 at him.
It's like the Chris Farley freak out. I'm like knocking tables over.
Where the fuck is my Palladium book?
Put it all on my credit card, my good man.
Oh, pardon me, Santos, if that is your real name, Bart Simpson, but your phony credit card is no good here. Now make like my pants and spit.
Well, what does Scott Cedarwind have to say, Mr. Keita?
Living in the Chicago suburbs, I have a plethora of shops to go to. Ooh, big word.
Plethora?
Yeah, plethora, right?
Plethora. That plethora is a pointless word. Honestly, isn't that big of a deal to me. I like to go in and just to browse. That means selection is probably my strongest, my biggest criteria in looking for shops.
Does the plethora fight the ferrator?
Ferrator.
Sunday.
Chlor. There's a band called Chlor.
Now?
Before.
Oh,
and I always wondered,
so
like,
I really mean it.
Like, if people are, I always wondered, and this is a tangent that I'll end quickly, is when people Google Chlor looking for the band, like, they're like, fucking
Civil War. Well, there's a band, Thor. I wonder if Chlor is a cover band. They're a cover band. The Chlor cover
band. Thou art no Thor.
That band sucked. Anyway, Hunter said, "I like to think more about..." Oh, no, I'm sorry. Eric Houston said, "Since I just moved to a new city a few months back, this is something that's been on my mind. The Twin Cities have several comic shops between them, but it's difficult to decide which one is the one for me. I love a good back issue selection, particularly good bargain bins. A discount isn't very important, to be honest, but it is nice, although let's face it, most of the time that ends up being around a 10% discount, which for me results in a savings of about $2 a week, which while nice isn't enough to put one store over the top. Another factor that is important to me is a shop ordering an adequate number of new issues of any given book.
We'll get a pull list.
Raw non-sentences.
And they don't have
to. Oh, snap.
Sorry, Eric. Is that from, I think that's from Hanging Chad?
Yeah, I mean, I guess discounts are, you know, if you're not buying a lot of books, a discount isn't that big of a deal. But if you are buying...
You should buy more
know.
Books, then. Like White Picket Fences.
Please buy White Picket Fences.
just kidding about the run-on sentences.
Well, you got to be careful.
You know, I want to talk about pull lists and pull boxes or, you know, whatever each store, you know, calls them. That is actually a really big deal for me is, you know, I want to know that my books are there whenever I come in. I have a pull box membership here at Dark Tower, and when Captain America 25 came out, I, you know, didn't have to worry about it. I didn't have to call the shop and say, hey, set one aside for me. It was there whenever I came to the shop, and I knew it was going to be. So, you know, Tom, you've got a Polis membership here. How important is it to you to know that your box are going to be there, your books are going to be there whenever they come out?
It's very important, Chris.
And that there's a discount.
Yeah, and that there's a discount.
And that they're
we're
bagged
NPR
and boarded.
Now.
That's right. Come in to Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles for all of your comics and collectibles needs.
If I just had to pick out my books, I'd forget
them. This is the best episode ever because we have been named more times. Like per hour. I've got like
we did this episode for you, you surly old bastard.
Well, every time we say Graham Crackers, we have to say Dark Tower five times.
Dark Tower. There is no Graham.
Let's talk about Chicago Comics.
There's only Zool or Dark Tower.
There's only two. There's only one. The pull list is good because I would forget to pick up stuff.
Yeah. You know, I kind of start with my pull list, and whatever's not in there from week to week, I always go and check the new releases, and
I like,
you know, I add, you know, to
I
it.
Just like, I like having my books in a box.
Because otherwise, they'd just be all over the place, and you have to search for them.
Sorry,
we should mention how important pull lists are to shops.
Yeah.
Because... I mean, you know, every shop out there pretty much is running on not huge margins. Comic
it's
shops...
It's a huge part of how they make their orders.
And that's a huge deal to them because if a comic shop orders 100 issues of something that doesn't sell, there's no returning it. They can't send it back for a refund, and they're stuck with it.
Almost never.
And if they don't know what to order, I mean, they base it on their pull list membership. You know,
shall we talk to the resident comic shop owner about how important his
sure.
pull list is?
Mark, how important is your pull list?
Can we call the guy from Graham Crackers?
Oh. Here,
I'm losing my discount.
your pull list has been put on hold for a while.
You are banned until Wednesday.
You have to pull your own list.
until I drop like $45 on Wednesday.
Then you're make sure you drop $45 on Wednesday. I'm just sticking anything and everything in there this week.
G.I. Joe?
You asked for it.
Anyway, how important is a pull list membership to your business?
Overly important. It's the backbone of your business. It's the bread and butter. I mean, without it, you wouldn't have a store. You can't rely on the guy who comes in once every few weeks to buy this issue or that issue, or all the people that came in to buy Captain America 25 mm-hmm. after they heard about it on CNN. You can't rely on those people. You have to have regulars. You have to have your pull box. Without that, you wouldn't be able to have the store.
But it also gives you sort of a guidepost to orders too. I mean,
oh, definitely. I wouldn't order a lot of books as heavy as I did if I didn't know they were going to sell that well. I mean, there's no other way around it. You wouldn't order 100 copies of Marvel Zombies versus Army of Darkness.
What would you say?
On a whim.
What would you say the percentage of your customers don't have a pull list or do have a pull list?
Even the ones that. People that come in that don't have pull lists?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably about maybe 20% of them.
Don't have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's really good. A lot of them I end up getting them on the pull list at some point or another.
Right.
Whether I've had guys that have been coming in here for a year or 2 years, and all of a sudden they decide to go on the pull list.
And
usually if they're my regular guys anyways, even if they don't, I still usually give them a little discount because they come in every week for me.
Right.
I was going to say, I mean, it's just it's a factor that's pretty unique to comic shops that you don't get. I mean, even if you could still find an independent video store, an independent, you know, music shop or, you know, whatever, you don't get pull lists there. I mean, so it has to be something that's embraced by comic shops because it is one thing that only they really have. I mean, they can offer their customers something that, you know,
getting an indie book at a store too is also telling people.
Oh.
Even beyond the pull list is just letting people know that the book exists too.
I'd say the pull list actually helps the indies more than it helps the Marvel or DC.
Yeah,
by far, because I mean, sometimes I've never heard like White Picket Fences. I may not have seen your book in the previews because, as you know, as you go through the previews, it's really convoluted. You got 500 pages.
There's so much stuff.
Yeah, if you're not getting a full page ad in previews,
I had one of my guys special order. He put it on his list of things. He gave me his previews order, and it was on there. So when I see that, I usually take a second look at that book to see if I want to order extras on that. Which I think
because usually
doing,
I think if one person wants it bad enough, a lot of times.
Well, you can also gauge it by what that person
buys.
Right.
If you got one or two people asking for a small book, you're going to order a few extras of that one because there's two people actually specifically asking for this. So
yeah.
Hopefully that'll mean there'll be some other people who see it when it's in the store and buy it.
A pull list can be a good kind of tempering thing, you know. I mean, if people are looking for it, it will give you a reason to look at it a second or even a first time if it's something you missed over, you know. So
go ask for White Picket Fences.
Please ask for White
and get a pull list of your LCS. Yeah.
Or Dark Tower important. Comics.
Or Dark Tower Comics.
Specifically Dark Tower Comics.
Our next forum post is from John Sokol, and John has a numbered list here. Number one, location. There are a million great shops in and around San Francisco, but that doesn't help me here in New Jersey.
Well, moved to San Francisco.
Yeah. Number two, convenience. Can I easily get there? Can I park there? Are they open when I want to shop? These first two are barriers to entry. If they don't apply, there's no reason to go forward. Once I get there, what I want is selection. Number three, do they have everything that I want? If not, I can get it next week. Can I get it next week? Assuming it is in stock. I don't pre-order Raisin Bran from the grocery store. I shouldn't have to pre-order The Damned or White Picket Fences. Number four, atmosphere. I want a nice, clean, neat store that I can bring my wife, kids, and friends to. It should be well lit. The store should be laid out in such a way that I can find things on my own. Number five, service. This should really be number 4A as they tie together. The staff should be friendly and helpful, not surly, distrustful, or disinterested. It's not my fault that you're in the middle of a conversation when I need help. Just do your damn job. Make suggestions on books I might like based on my likes, not yours. The help should be, helpful. Number 5.2, cost. A discount is nice. I travel a lot for work. If I'm on the road on a Wednesday, it's cool to find the local area shop and pick up my books. I won't do that if I am getting a discount from my LCS. Number 6, previews. If you do expect me to pre-order books, you better damn well give me previews so I can pre-order. Selling it to me at cost is acceptable, but not preferred. Number 7, a pull list / pull box is nice. I'd rather that everything I want is on the shelves for me to browse and buy.
John Sokol, I've never disagreed with more things than I've ever thought in my entire life.
I'll take issue with 6.
John is one of our best posters, and I put basically his entire post, because I think all 7, 8, 9, 10 of those points at least ring true with
some people.
Every listener agrees with
cowards
at least one of
those who don't
points.
Want to ask for books that they might like, but wouldn't like to pick them up. If you like a book, just fucking ask for it.
Yeah, but what's funny about John, and I gave him crap about on the forum, is that at the end he says he doesn't care about bags or boards because he doesn't bag or board his books, and it made me gasp. I was like, you don't bag and board
nerd.
Books. Yeah, so he reads them, and if he then he sends them off to people through Sequential Swap.
What do I need bags and boards for a digital comic?
Oh. This isn't just sorry.
Never mind.
Here's the thing about the people that complain about not getting books that aren't on their pull list. That, to me, just speaks of passive aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Of like being like, I want a book, but I want it to be there,
and
even
if it's
though
not, yeah.
it might not because no one
well,
asked for
well, it's the same
it.
People that you put a book in their box that they didn't ask for, they're going to bitch about. I mean, some people just
John,
want,
I'm calling you
complain.
Out,
sir. No, we love John.
I love John, but I think he's wrong.
I'm just amazed that he's listening to our podcast. As demanding as a customer he is, I'm amazed he's stuck around our forum and our podcast for this long.
He's very inconsistent.
Yeah.
You'll shit in your pool.
Can I use your bathroom?
No, you may not. Bathroom is for paying customers only. If you purchase an item, you may use the bathroom.
Hey, Tom, we have a new poster this week named Sentinel of the Spaceway.
How can I convince him to shorten his login
I know,
login
he
name.
Actually makes the
he
pages
screws up
longer.
The forum because his name's so damn long.
It's definitely location. I can't drive on my own yet. So, well, you shouldn't have listened to the rest of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, fudge.
Maybe he's got a... Maybe he has a disability and he's
now
not...
No, he's 16. Oh. Remember, he's Earth 2 Tom.
Oh, that's
he likes
right.
All the stuff I like.
Oh. Yeah.
God.
He likes Flash Somebody's and like slow, walk, slow walks on the beach. Packers. And the Packers.
Definitely location. I can't drive on my own yet, so I have to get rides from my parents, and the only good comic shop is about 10 miles away from everything.
Wow. Wow.
Sounds like a Grant Morrison
nice.
Comic.
No matter
so
which direction
a man
you go.
Dressed in white.
So I have a good excuse to get them to drive me, and I end up making it out there every couple of weeks. Well, if you want to, you can call me and I can talk to your parents.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they can give you a good talk about prostitution.
Just
kind of
swear
out.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Spaceways.
Mr.
This is Tom Caters.
This is Tom Caters.
Hey, Sal, what does Jay Scarzi look for in a comic shop?
Height. Number one is height. An owner that is at least 6'3 or better. Number two, hair color. White hair is important.
Done.
Number
Done.
Three, facial hair. Van Dyke is important. Maybe the Goose Gossage mustache. No full beards. Number four, CV. Owners must have more than comic shop owner on their resume. I prefer someone who has had bouncing at many local bars to prevent arguments amongst nerdy fanboys or podcasting hosts. Maybe I'm just talking about Mark from Dark Tower, but that's what makes a good comic shop for me.
Thanks, Scarzi. Scarzi sent in a voicemail that we just can't play because it is too dirty.
It was, it was...
The reenactment will begin now.
It was a roast that we'll have to put up as
Chris,
an Easter egg.
Chris, I want you to touch Tom.
It was Phil. It was just Phil.
Well, John,
it wasn't too dirty, it was just so outrageous.
Oh, he sent in a roast that was... absolutely brutal. It was the best voicemail we ever got.
Actually, I think we didn't post it because Chris told me not to because he really got Chris bad in the roast.
He did. He roasted me bad.
I told you not to.
You did tell me not to.
So don't put that up.
Well, no, I definitely want
to. It was irreverent.
We'll have to put it as an Easter egg.
There's things said about people we don't know that well.
John X Ward says, a good comic store has to have a few things that will make it worthwhile. Atmosphere. Every shop needs a good, friendly atmosphere. If not, the store can be very boring and many people will not stay there. Variety. A large variety of different books, that is. The kind of store where you can go in and ask for the latest copy of Pirates vs. Ninjas, and they'll have it on the rack. Why go to a store to just buy from the big two? And possibly Image. I've only been to two stores like this, and they both happen to be in the Cleveland area of Ohio.
Joinks Lord.
Is it Jonix? No, it's Jonix Lord.
Jonix?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was Joinks.
Joinks!
I thought it was a Joinks Loin at first.
Joinks Loin.
I'm dyslexic.
Tom, what's G-Dog have to say?
Pull list, and pull list. In the 90s, my LCS didn't do pull list unless you spent something like $50 a week at his place. I was always missing out Marvel and DC events as books would sell out before I could get to the store. However, seeing it was the 90s. That doesn't seem like a bad thing in retrospect. needles to say.
Needles.
This place closed up a long time ago. My current LCS is Tardy's Collection Corner, www.tardys.com.
That was Jeffrey Brown's shop.
As a child.
Yes. Last one, guys.
All right, this is Trev. Trev said, number one, good atmosphere. Number two, pull list. Number three, give back. Do you have events and signings? Do you promote comics or sequential art? Do you partner with other local businesses who are in your niche? Do you do cool fundraisers for stuff like Hero and CBLDF? Wow, that's a lot to ask for a shop.
Yeah,
I
also think if you want
to
talk
that's
about,
cool, it's a lot
you know,
to ask.
Like promoting a comic. You could promote something like White Picket Fences.
Yes,
you could. Well, we should talk about White Picket Fences.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about all the people complaining about
White Picket Fences.
I can't get a book. Yeah, they haven't read it yet.
Oh,
if they read it, they wouldn't be complaining.
They can't get White Picket Fences.
The only thing, the only thing they have to complain about is that they can't get it, which can be rectified by asking for it.
Right.
Well, first of all, Ape Entertainment is quickly developing a reputation of putting out high quality and only high quality books. That's something that we talked with Brent and Dave Hedgecock and Kevin Freeman, and they pride themselves on only putting out things that they would read as comic fans. And we see this over and over again, that they've done a great job of doing that. Mm-hmm. They have a new book coming out called White Picket Fences that, you know, and kind of like Ape Entertainment, we we get a lot of books that we look at that people send us, and we only want to talk about the books that we really like. So you guys are here, so we must have liked it.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Matt, Micah, why don't you give us the setup of White Picket Fences and what it is about?
All right. White Picket Fences combines TV shows, 50 sitcoms like Leave It to Beaver with 50 science fiction films like The Day the Earth Stood Still. It actually centers around a family much like you would see in Leave It to Beaver. And the primary character we're concerned with is Charlie Hobson, who is the 11-year-old son of Franklin and Barbara. He, just on basically an innocent day, playing with two of his friends, stumbles upon Martian technology that's been hidden in his small town of Greenview. And much like any kid, steals what he finds. And...
little bastard.
Can't trust him.
Yeah, can't. Damn kids.
Communist.
But what he doesn't know is what the device that he steals is it's actually the firing mechanism for weaponry that's hidden on the same grounds that he was on. So yeah, the story then boils down to Charlie's adventure with this device that he has in his possession. And he's kind of navigating through his small town while the American military is there, pretty much threatening to turn it over, trying to find this piece that he's got. And then the Martians themselves show up in the town, threatening to do the same, if not worse.
Is this an ongoing title, or is it a limited series?
This is three. This current series is three issues. Okay. Yes.
And do you have plans to go on past that with the same characters or the same sort of...
We're making plans. Yeah. We're making plans. There's nothing definite, but
okay.
Yeah.
We're definitely talking.
There are stories to tell that would be set with these characters. And, you know, you could find on Free Comic Book Day, we actually have a 5-page story that technically takes place after the 3-issue miniseries.
And that's that's going to be in the Ape... Ape's doing an anthology
piece. Yeah, I think we're in it along with a new Athena Voltaire story. Yeah.
How'd you guys come up with the story idea, the concept of it?
That came a few years ago, just because I actually have a real love for Leave It to Beaver.
You found a Martian military.
I did.
I was gonna say. I'm thinking
autobiographical.
A drunken night that starts with Nick at Night, and you wake up watching War of the Worlds.
Exactly. Well, yes.
With Martian technology in your hand, and where the hell did this come from?
Where did I go?
I mean, we watched enough of Nick at Night up until Mr. Ed came on. We decided that's enough.
Yeah.
Changed the channel.
Yeah, that's so unrealistic. We're talking horse.
Monster Vision was on, and boom. That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how I had described the book to you guys off mic earlier, is that if you take Stand By Me...
Why is Chris describing their book to them?
Well, my feelings of it is like, if you take Stand By Me, and it's like if Stand By Me took place after War of the Worlds, that is White Picket Fences. It's kind of this buddy book of these three kids... in
thieving bastards.
Yeah,
thieving.
The rest of the other
two
are
gone.
Cool.
I think to call
they're
it
straight edge.
I also think to call it necessary theft is
finders
strong.
Keepers.
Impetuous childhood.
Yeah. All
right.
He was liberating.
Discretion. Exactly. That is a fantastic use of the word youthful and indiscretion.
and not only a comedy, nor is it just about a boy who's trying to rectify something he did that was. It was maybe
misguided.
Misguided, yes. But it's also there's also like a also predominant in 1950s. Almost everything is a huge Cold War metaphor between Mars, Earth, and Venus. Briefly, but mostly Mars and Earth. Yes. So.
What would you? How would you describe sort of the theme of it, or not the theme of it, but the feel of the book? As far as is it. Humorous? Is it lighthearted? Is it more serious or a combination?
I would say definitely lighthearted in parts. There are some parts that get kind of dire when maybe the end of the world may be looming close at hand. But yeah, definitely humorous, satirical, And also,
it's Pleasantville. Yeah. That's it. It's Pleasantville.
Very near, dear to our hearts, is Pleasantville.
One of the things, I was going to say, is that when it comes to the tone, I mean, it is very humorous, but the threat is real. There's no comic timing on, you know, the threat of, you know, this pending Martian invasion. I mean, they are intending, you know, to do what, you know, they say they're going to do. So there's, you know, there's no copying out. That doesn't boil down to slapstick.
There's
so.
A good message of civic duty in the book.
vote early.
Buy war bonds.
Yeah, kill Obama.
Kill Obama.
I'm never going to let that. After Snagglepuss and shoot Obama, I'm done.
My girlfriend's going to be pissed. Yeah, I shook Obama.
I'm going to vote for him.
Fuck those unions. They're just finish it off. what the hell?
She's not going to listen anyway.
She doesn't listen.
Besides the story, what is extremely striking about White Picket Fences is the truly fantastic art of the Ferrator.
Thank you very much.
Micah, you illustrated, and this is long before I knew you, which was tonight. 3 hours. You illustrated
yesterday.
You illustrated my favorite issue of Strange Girl, which is a fantastic Rick Remender book from Image Comics. So I've seen you in that. What else have you worked on prior to White Picket Fences?
I worked before that. I worked with Josh Bielkoff on Postcards. It's an anthology. It's coming out soon through Random House. And before that, with Night Trippers, a book authored by Mark Ricketts. And my debut book was just a beautiful, glorious story. Robert Tennell and Todd Livingston wrote The Living and the Dead. And I did that for them about a 90-odd page, or like 120-page graphic novel that came out a couple of years ago. It's very cool. So I've been doing it for just a few years, and like I said before, I haven't been in comics much longer than, been interested in comics much longer than that, but got interested pretty quick, and then went out to San Diego, and that's actually where I met
Cha-ching.
Todd
that's what
Livingston.
You thought.
what I thought was, if there's a quicker way to make money, somebody please tell me.
Well, Micah, how would you describe your art style for people that haven't seen it before? Fantastic. And I know it's hard to
as a must buy. I'll describe it technically. It's pencils. I try and render each page pretty much fully in pencil, and then if color is needed, I go in and color that digitally. It's kind of abstracted, a little bit cartoony, hopefully a little bit dark for a lot of it, and when appropriate, I hope there's some comedy, because I've found that there's nothing harder to illustrate than comedy. So.
And you peaked with White Picket Fences, correct?
The truth is, I peaked 30 seconds in, much to my shame, and then the rest was just snuggling.
The rest of this book's awesome.
I gotta add something about the artwork, but I don't know how I can follow that. One of the things that, you know, strikes me whenever I saw, you know, pages coming in via email, and what a lot of people who I show the book to, it's not the expected style, like, for something like White Picket Fences. I mean, it's got a very clean, you know, you can see the wholesome look of the characters, you can see the 1950s vibe, but it isn't, as you said earlier, it's not like Pleasantville, like, you know, which is a film, but, you know, that is so whitewashed, and it's so perfect, you know, with something like, you know, what Micah does with White Picket Fences, there's so much expression. I mean, we might be telling a story about, you know, what is considered kind of the boring time, you know, the 1950s, very plain. There's so much character in the characters. I mean, everyone is always gesturing. Everyone is, you know, each panel feels very animated. And
one of the things I thought when I read the previews, as far as like the depiction of sort of childhood, the first thing it reminded me of was actually Blankets, and sort of the idea of how you capture sort of like small moments of being young that I think sometimes people overwrite or over-render sort of what childhood is like, but it can be very simple, and it can be sort of a certain moment that gets captured in a certain way. And there's the scene of the character running over a hill, which is like the exact, in, you know, one page capturing of like what you do when you're a kid. You do stupid shit like run around in boxes. You know, you play with boxes.
You think you're a monster.
It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be like hard.
If you look at the first few pages of it, I mean, I think the first two pages of it are, you know, it looks like this World War II story, you know, in the trenches and very gritty, and you soon find out that that may not be the case, and then it turns into a completely different sort of book or, you know, story at that point, and both are conveyed very effectively. You know, you see...
What was funny about that is that I'm reading the preview, and Dave Hedgecock had sent this to me, and I had no idea what White Picket Fences was, and so I'm reading this, and I'm just like, you know, a page in, I'm like, God, this is the worst fucking war story book ever. Yeah.
You know, worst dialogue.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck, Hedgecock, what the hell are you sending me?
So you get to the twist.
So glad that worked. Yeah. Yeah. That took Eric and I quite a while. There's actually two sets of dialogue. The dialogue that you guys read in the preview will not be the dialogue.
Oh, I loved it. It was perfect.
But the
it's similar.
Yeah, okay. It's very similar. What happened, we lost the dialogue we originally wrote. So when it came time to, you know, show, you know, to pitch the book around at Wizard World, we scrambled. I mean, it was like a last minute, like, Micah was, you know, lettering the book at the time. This is when we were putting together the pitch. And we were like, oh, crap, we got to write new dialogue. And it took us a long time to write the fake army dialogue the first time, so to have to do it a second time was, you know...
intimidating.
Yeah.
It came across as a really shitty army.
That's it. Proper army dialogue. I could write all day. Well, but this.
Yeah, you got to find some kids who know a little bit of half-assed stuff
they watch
about
TV.
The army.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, they watched combat. You know, and shit like that.
So they just mashed a bunch of words together. So yeah, we're hoping, hopefully people will get beyond their like, ugh, worst army dialogue ever.
But it's supposed to be the worst army dialogue ever.
Well, and 11, you know, 11-year-old kids are supposed to be saying.
Charlie Foxtrot.
Spoilers, guys. Spoilers.
All right,
those were all spoilers.
Yes. Can you edit that in earlier?
Yeah.
Well, guys, when does White Picket Fences make its triumphant debut?
The debut, well, actually is... May 5th on Free Comic Book Day. As we said earlier, we're part of the Apes Free Comic Book Day offering. The first issue of White Picket Fences is on May 16th, so just about a week and a half later.
Okay. Outstanding.
I look forward to it. I'm excited.
Excellent.
So thank you so much for,
it's our
for
pleasure.
Dropping by.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having us.
Hey, it's been our pleasure. Folks, I want to remind everyone that you can help us out by spreading the Around Comics love. You can do that a few different ways. You can take us up on our listener LCS challenge. You can go to the homepage at aroundcomics.com and download that flyer. Just ask your local comic shop manager or owner if they would display that. If they do, we will mention both you and the shop on the show and provide a link to the comic store on our site. You can also become our virtual friends at Comic Space. And that is comicspace.com/aroundcomics. You can do the same thing at MySpace at myspace.com/aroundcomics. You can do my personal favorite, which is leaving us an iTunes Music Store review. Please be so kind and be as cool as Andy Parks, Mike Norton, Steve Bryant.
Still waiting for Doom.
Doom?
When Doom can figure out how to change his profile name, Doom. Please come check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. We have awesome artists that hang out there that show stuff like Jamie McKilvey from Phonogram. And Kevin Freeman actually has put up the subculture.
Webcomics.
What is Jamie's book that he's working on?
Suburban Glamour.
Yeah.
That looks really neat.
I think I upset him today, though, because he posted the black and white, and then he posted the color
and you
later.
Shit about the color.
Well, no, I just said I really
like
love
his black
and white stuff
too.
Because it just reminds me of, like, the best of, like, 80s independent black and white comics that are out there tonight. And he's like, well, too bad, I'm putting it out in color. And he said,
go fuck yourself.
Yeah, basically. Well,
and hey, I mean, this is why did he say that they're coming out in color?
Because it'll sell better.
You'll double your sales if it's in
absolutely.
Color.
Oh,
no,
so
double more than that.
Triple.
Oh, yeah, Mark says more than double.
Quintuple.
So Jamie, put it out in color.
Put it on, well, that's what I said. I said, I understand why you're putting it
just
out in color.
Just send us the black and white version.
Yeah, that's all I ask.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcasts.com. comicsshop.com.
Just so everyone is aware, we post this the next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com. Next week, we're talking with Richard Starkings, the man behind Hip Flask, Elephant Man, and most of the words you read in comics due to Comic Craft, joins the roundtable. This episode has been sponsored by InStockTrades.com. Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
And your new best friend after that should be Hero Initiative. And we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. The chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809 and say that you love white picket fences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cheers.
And I know that, speaking about in-stock trades, I know that Cameron has an ape section there. So when White Picket Fences makes it to trade, I'm sure that you'll be able to pick it up.
Omnibus,
there.
The White Picket Fences.
But what you
$80 absolute edition.
Yes. But what you need to do,
you're
is
gonna have to make up notes.
Yeah.
there are plenty.
buy the single issues for yourself, and then whenever it comes out in trade, buy that for your friends.
Great Christmas gift.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to thank everyone for joining us today, Matt, Eric, Micah. Ron and Connor from iFanboy, Suntrus hanging around in the back here. We had several people.
Santa Claus, yeah. And you might have to edit out for time restraints. But Santa had a great call in.
He was fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks, Santa.
Just in time for this holiday.
You got it. Tom and Sal, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Everyone has
pleasure.
A
pleasure is a strong word.
Yeah.
Strong word.
Everybody,
Cap, if you had anything better to do on a Friday,
I wouldn't.
You would.
I'd be at home reading like old Silver Age comics, drinking. So.
Priority comics. All right, everyone, have a fantastic week. We'll be back again on Monday with another new episode. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Ask your store for White Picket Fences.
Worst episode ever.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know that you don't love me. Baby, love you one more time.